Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Star Trek universe is filled with individuals who are simply put up to no good. Sometimes it's individuals who cause problems for the heroes of each series, other times it's entire races who just can't help themselves. Back in the era of the original series and Enterprise, the Klingons were straight up bad boys. In The Next Generation, the Klingons had become allies of the Federation for the most part. Other species like the Romulans seem to consistently be a thorn in the Federation's collective side. Even when they team up with Starfleet, the Romulans are still plotting against their temporary allies. That might seem like paranoia to some, but remember, it's only paranoia when someone isn't out to get you. But when you step back from well-known villains like the Klingons, Romulans, or the Q, there are others who maybe haven't gotten the respect that they deserve. So here I am, Marcus Bronzy, to put some damn respect on their names. Here is 10 underrated villains in Star Trek. Number 10, Professor James Moriarty. Yep, we're still listening to a Star Trek video. Star Trek's never been afraid to dip into the literary history from time to time, particularly when a holodeck is involved. After Data solved a Sherlock Holmes mystery pretty easily, Geordi LaForge challenged the computer to make an adversary tough enough to give his android friend a hard time. Computer, make a program that can baffle and beat a positronic brain. Naturally, that didn't pan out well. The computer responded with Professor James Moriarty, the greatest nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. But the computer also upgraded this hologram to the point where he understood that he was a hologram and was able to take control of the Enterprise D from within the holodeck. They didn't so much beat Moriarty as they successfully begged him to stop and eventually tricked him into a little box. Moriarty appeared in 2 episodes of The Next Generation, but he's never quite gotten his due. He dominated the legendary crew of the Enterprise on both occasions, and that's not bad for someone who technically wasn't a real person. Or was he? Well, let's not get into that on this list. Number 9, Commander Tomalak. The Romulans were one of the main species that vexed Captain James T. Kirk and the crew of the Enterprise in the original series, but by the time TNG swung around, the powerful Romulan Star Empire had been locked away from the rest of the Alpha Quadrant for more than 50 years. They were drawn out by the mysterious destruction of their outposts along the neutral zone. A Romulan warbird encountered the Enterprise D whilst it was investigating the disappearance of their own neutral zone outposts. Whilst no one knew this at the time, the attacks were apparently perpetrated by the Borg as they tested the defenses of their new adversaries. After this, Commander Tomalak became one of the more regular Romulans the Enterprise D had to face, though one of those times happened in a holodeck fantasy Riker was subjected to. That only half counts. Still, he was definitely a menacing foe who gave them a lot of trouble. The Enterprise D only survived a ship-to-ship encounter with him thanks to Klingon birds of prey backing them up. Number 8. T'Rau. Few species are feared across the galaxy as the Klingons. Known for their honor and prowess in battle, Klingons built their empire through violent conquest. While they started off as the Federation's greatest enemy, they eventually grew to become one of their greatest allies through many wars. Like seemingly everyone else from the House of Duras, which is supposedly a great Klingon house but really is overflowing with cowards, traitors, and criminals, Lursa and Beator were two of the worst and most ingenious members of this house. Tarau, on the other hand, did not get much respect. The illegitimate son of Duras was used by his far more intelligent aunts in an attempt to take the Klingon Empire from the newly crowned Chancellor Gowron. He later appeared in an episode of Deep Space Nine chasing Worf, Jadzia, Dax, and Kor as they searched for the Sword of Kaelas. Tarau's original portrayal on The Next Generation was as a whiny little troll of a Klingon. That being said, he was exactly what the Klingon Civil War story needed to work. Bringing him back in DS9 was a great callback to a rough period in Worf's life. Number 7. Luther Sloan. The Romulans and the Cardassians were considered to be two of the worst empires in the Alpha Quadrant. They could be ambitious, ruthless, in the worst possible ways. Both of them had clandestine organizations that worked to protect them from their own internal threats, respectively the Tal Shiar and the Obsidian Order. Surprisingly, the Federation had a similar organization known as Section 31. Well, it would have been if anyone knew about it. Section 31 have reputedly existed since the earliest days of the Federation, but over the centuries, Section 31 became a secretive and dangerous organization with zero oversight, taking out threats to the Federation, both real and perceived. Virtually no one in Starfleet knew they existed until Luther Sloan showed up on Deep Space Nine. His goal was to recruit Julian Bashir, though Bashir played that against him over time to collect information on this mysterious Section 31. Sloan was a different kind of villain, as he showed the darker side of the Federation. One that surprised a lot of fans. Section 31 has shown up in Enterprise and Discovery, but Luther Sloan, he was the greatest and possibly most evil of their agents. Number 6. The Breen. Different Star Trek series have tried to bring new aggressive races in over the years. The Borg, the Cardassians, I mean, they were two very successful attempts, though other races like the Breen never quite seemed to click. A warlike race, the Breen took being secretive to a new level. Their home planet was reputedly incredibly cold, so that any Breen that ventured away from it had to wear a refrigeration suit. Supposedly, no one outside of the Breen had ever seen one of them without a suit on and lived. The Breen never really caught on with the fans, though they probably should have. They were a race of warriors with incredible engineering skills. They actually developed a dampening weapon that almost won the war for the Dominion. That's serious stuff. Number 5. The Intendant. One of the most memorable episodes of the original series was Mirror Mirror, which took a portion of the Enterprise's crew to a different reality where the Federation was an evil, oppressive regime. More importantly, we got to see Spock with a goatee. Many years later, Deep Space Nine would return to the Mirror Universe. A coalition formed by the Klingons, Cardassians, and Bajorans had enslaved humans, and the highest-ranking member of the Alliance on Terok Nor was the Intendant, aka Evil Major Kira. Unlike Major Kira, the Intendant was overtly sexual, adored violence, and was downright Machiavellian. Her selfishness was legendary in two realities, leading her to be a threat in both universes. She wasn't afraid to cross over and make trouble wherever she saw fit. Number 4. Weyoun. When ships from the Alpha Quadrant started passing through the wormhole at Deep Space Nine, they eventually drew the attention of the Dominion. Led by the ultimate string pullers of other races, the Founders, the Dominion was a ruling power in the Gamma Quadrant. The Vorta acted as the public faces of the Dominion, and the most prominent one was Weyoun. The Vorta were actually clones, so several iterations of Weyoun appeared on the series each time after people thought they'd actually killed him. Whilst he was normally just following the designs of the Founders, Jeffrey Combs' Weyoun could be counted on to implement them with zeal. Number 3. Gary Mitchell. To our UK audience, note, this is not somebody from EastEnders. Whilst the adventures of the Enterprise on the original series centered primarily on the main crew members, there were other crew members on the ship, like Lieutenant Commander Gary Mitchell. Under the command of James T. Kirk, he was one of the Enterprise's helmsmen. He was actually an old friend of Kirk's from their academy days. Apparently, he jumped in front of a poison dart for him and all, but while chasing down a lead relating to a ship that had been missing for 200 years, the Enterprise passed through a barrier with much difficulty. The damage to the ship was immense, but the impact on Mitchell was even more pronounced. He ended up with a variety of superpowers, but also a new detached attitude towards life. Cruel even. Kirk ended up battling him on the surface of Delta Vega, defeating him thanks to the efforts of Dr. Elizabeth Denner, who used similar powers to weaken Mitchell. While he only appeared as a villain in one episode, Mitchell left an impact on the series and deserves a place among the best of the bad guys in Trek. Number 2. Kai Winn. Fun fact, there are very few people I want to punch in the face more than Kai Winn. Anywho, as a general rule, the Bajorans are guided through life by their faith. Their gods were called the prophets, and they communicated with the Bajorans through the orbs. The leader of the Bajoran religion was called the Kai, and the first one Benjamin Sisko encountered was Kai Opaka. She was intelligent. She was a spiritual leader who led her people through much of the Cardassian occupation. But when Opaka was forced to leave her post, an election was held to decide her successor, and the eventual winner was Kai Winn, an ambitious, duplicitous individual who was frequently selfish and more than a little xenophobic. She was not a fan of Captain Sisko being the emissary of the prophets either. Whilst Golda Kat has generally been regarded as Sisko's primary nemesis, and he certainly was, Winn was a bigger thorn in the side of the Federation. Even when it seemed like when Winn was on one of the good guys' side, she was always working her own angle. Winn even sided with Dekat in the Par race, which made for a juicy DS9 climax. Number 1. Brunt.
FCA.
Like the Breen, the Ferengi were initially introduced as an evil race. Though they first appeared early in The Next Generation, unfortunately they couldn't be taken seriously as an aggressive and violent species, partially due to their size and look, and they quickly became comic relief characters. Though that doesn't mean you should ever turn your back on them. Deep Space Nine did an amazing job of delving deeper into the Ferengi culture, giving fans a better look at them, as well as more empathy for them. Several regular and recurring Ferengi appeared on DS9, including Brunt. Another of Jeffrey Combs' DS9 characters, Brunt was a representative for the FCA, the Ferengi Commerce Authority, which enforced the rules of acquisition. He hated Quark's family because they flouted the rules quite often, and they weren't what Brunt saw as typical Ferengi. His obsession with Quark cost him everything, as he ultimately lost his position at the FCA and more. Brunt has never really gotten the respect as a villain, in part because, well, most of the episodes he popped up in were comedic, but he was a smart, diabolical, and persistent person who could have done even more damage if given the chance.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.